So we're going to talk tonight about Patrick. Now, what do we associate with this individual? What famous holiday is connected to Patrick? That's right, St. Patrick's Day. And what do you think about when you think about St. Patrick's Day? You would think about things that are green, right? You might think about shamrocks or clovers or leprechauns or maybe even Lucky Charms, right? We think about all things Irish on St. Patrick's Day. Here's a little depiction of Patrick, and of course we see his green vestments here, and he's holding the shamrock. Certainly, you know, kind of captures some of those stereotypical things that we think about with Patrick. But here's one of the things we have to understand about Patrick, and that is that he was not Irish. He was actually from England, a neighboring country. So we have to kind of step back and think about his life. The other important thing we have to understand is just what was going on at the time that Patrick was alive. The Roman Empire was controlling just a huge part of the civilized world. So we would often think in terms of, you know, different countries, Germany or France or Spain or Portugal or Israel, Egypt, Morocco, Algeria, Turkey. But at this time in history, all of these places were controlled by Rome. So I put a little dot here. There's where England is, right? And then on the map, I also put a little shaded circle. And this shaded circle shows us the general scope of the Roman Empire. And again, all these little individual countries, but they're all controlled by Rome. So that's a major factor and something we have to understand. Roman soldiers were everywhere, right? And they conquered even as far as England. You see the dot there on kind of the edge of that shaded circle. England was part of the area controlled by the Roman Empire. Now, just outside that shaded circle was Ireland. Right here. See it right there? Just off to the side. And why didn't the Romans conquer Ireland? Why didn't they continue on and take Ireland and subjugate the Irish? Well, probably the simplest answer is that Ireland was not that important. The Irish were a simple people. They were uncivilized and kind of turbulent. You know, they were rough and tumble, and they really hadn't invented anything of great importance. There were no great natural resources there. And so the Romans just didn't make the effort to conquer the Irish. So Patrick grew up in England, but under the control of Rome. Patrick grew up in a Christian home. His father was a deacon in the church. So this little picture kind of shows us, kind of depicts a little bit of that. They're dressed in Roman garb, Patrick's parents. And so again, his father was a deacon in the church, very involved. He grew up hearing about the gospel. But as a young boy, Patrick wasn't very interested in the church or in the Bible. He described himself at that time as being ignorant of the true God. But it was during this time that that the Roman Empire was in control, but the Roman Empire was beginning to weaken. It was kind of at the end of Roman power. Last week we talked about these same dynamics with Augustine and his mother Monica. Right? They were living at a time when Rome was sacked or conquered. And so again, Patrick lived during the same period of time. Rome was getting weaker and weaker, and the Roman Empire was beginning to crumble. So So soldiers everywhere, even in England. But what do you think happened to those soldiers, those Roman soldiers, when Rome and the Roman Empire was crumbling? Well, they were brought back to the capital city, right? They're all in these outlying areas, but when Rome is being attacked and threatened, the soldiers are brought back to Rome. So at this time, during Patrick's growing up years, the Roman soldiers left England. And the Irish invaders saw their opportunity. So here's a kind of an up-close map of England and Ireland. And again, the Roman soldiers leaving, and the wild barbarians from Ireland saw their opportunity to swoop in and attack England. English people were vulnerable, and the Irish began to raid and plunder and steal. Patrick was 16 when the Irish invaded his town and took him captive back to Ireland as a slave. He was put to work as a shepherd for 6 long years, tending flocks in Ireland. He endured the cold and the danger of wild animals, but perhaps more than anything else, he endured loneliness. He would have spent months at a time alone in the hills, finding new grass for the flocks. Can you even imagine being separated from your parents, your friends, your church, your school, everything familiar to you? Was God still with Patrick? Can you think of anyone else in the Bible who had this kind of experience? Certainly we might think of Daniel, right? He was captured. He was a smart young man, and he was taken off to Babylon to be trained, separated from his parents, taken from his country. We might also think of Joseph in this regard. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, taken off to Egypt. And we know from those accounts, right, that God was still with Daniel and still with Joseph. And God was still with Patrick as well. Matter of fact, it was during this time that Patrick became a follower of Jesus. Remember, he described his own childhood. He said he was ignorant of the true God. He really didn't understand God. He didn't have a relationship with God. But it was during this time, during these 6 horrible years as a slave, that he came to recognize his desperate need, and he surrendered his life to Jesus. He wrote, many times a day I prayed, the love of God and his fear came to me more and more, and my faith was strengthened, and my spirit was so moved that in a single day I would say as many as 100 prayers, and almost as many at night. And this, even when I was staying in the woods and on the mountain, and I would rise for prayer before daylight, through snow, through frost, through rain, and I felt no harm. He gives testimony here that God sustained him in the midst of these difficulties, and God drew him to himself. So he served as a slave for 6 years, and then what happened? That's right, he escaped. Here's a picture of him on a boat, right? He's leaving Ireland. He made his way from the mountain areas down to the coast and managed to get onto a ship and get away. And when the ship was going to France, it took him a couple years, but eventually he found his way back to England, back to his parents. You imagine that reunion, right? They didn't have email or text, or they didn't just make a phone call. Hey, I'm okay, Mom. I'll see you in a little while. He just showed up. He just showed up after 8 or 9 years. He just showed up at his parents' door. Can you imagine the joy that they felt at being reunited together again? And we would say, oh, that's a great end to the story. But something had changed in Patrick, right? He should have hated the Irish. Would you have hated the Irish if they took you away from your parents and made you a slave? I think I would struggle with the Irish. But Patrick had grown to love them and to have compassion on them. And he had a dream one night, and in that dream, the babies, the little children of Ireland were pleading with him to come back to their country and tell them about Jesus. And Patrick took this as a call from God that he was to go back and return to Ireland, not as a slave, but as a missionary. So here's a depiction of now Patrick, a little bit older, right? Some facial hair now, and he is returned, and he has a cross that he's wearing around his neck. He's now going back to them, speaking to them of Christ. He spent several years preparing and studying the Bible, but eventually then he went off back to Ireland, to the land of his captivity. And no one understood this. His parents certainly didn't understand. They pleaded with him not to go. The church at the time had did not encourage Patrick in this endeavor. Matter of fact, missionary activity had been notably absent during this period of church history. One writer says, what is remarkable is not that Patrick should have felt an overwhelming sense of mission, but that in the four centuries between Paul and Patrick, there are no missionaries. So somewhere along the line, after the ministry of the Apostle Paul, this whole missionary endeavor had fallen off the tracks. And Patrick not only reached Ireland with the gospel, but triggered a new wave of missions around the world. So we don't know a lot of definitive information about Patrick's missionary journey in Ireland. There are many legends. Some have said that he used the shamrock to illustrate the Trinity. Others say that he drove all the snakes out of Ireland. You know, it's just some kind of crazy stuff out there. But what we do know is that he worked very hard. He left a record, his own confessions about his ministry, and that's our main source of information. He claimed there that he, on at least 12 different occasions, specific occasions, his life was threatened. Right? It was not an easy ministry. The Irish people had many superstitious beliefs. One of the main groups was the Druids, who were kind of like magicians or sorcerers, and they would kill birds and cut them open and take out their organs and try to predict the future based on the color of the liver. And they even were known for some human sacrifices when they were facing major decisions, or it was a full moon, or, you know, there's a lot of just bizarre stuff that was going on. So Patrick steps into that whole scene. And he was also criticized by the church in England, by the believers in England, who thought he was crazy to be wasting his time with the Irish. And some people thought he questioned his motives. What was he trying to gain by this? Was he trying to profit from the Irish in some way? And so he kind of had the crosshairs on him. He was roundly criticized and opposed. But Patrick persisted. He made efforts to communicate the gospel in ways that the common people of Ireland could understand. He advocated for slaves, right? Those who were in bondage, because he had been in bondage himself, right? He empathized with the people in their plight. He said about the women, he said, but it is the women kept in slavery that suffer the most. The Lord gives grace to his many handmaids, and though they are forbidden to do so, they follow Jesus with backbone. Right? He loved the people that he had been called to serve, and he felt their pain, and he entered into their plight. A group of his converts, those who had turned to Christ, were captured by the British, right? So the British now started retaliating against the Irish and stealing captives. And Patrick wrote to the British Christians and appealed to them to act as Christians and to recognize their Irish brothers and sisters. And ultimately, Patrick won the people over, not only with the gospel message, but with his humble service. The records indicate that he worked hard and saw thousands converted and baptized. And by the time Patrick died, Ireland was almost entirely Christian. Amazing, the impact of one young man. And beyond that, Ireland became the base for evangelization of all of Europe. A number of little monastic communities developed in Ireland. We might think of these like Bible colleges, right? This was a place where, these were places where they would study the scriptures and they would copy the scriptures to make them available to more people, right? They didn't have printers and they didn't have photocopy machines, and so they had to copy everything by hand. And so Patrick was part of this monastic movement, and from these little Bible colleges went out many different missionaries into Switzerland and Germany and all throughout Europe. The Orthodox Church has a prayer that they have dedicated to Patrick. It says, "The Master revealed you as a skillful fisher of men, and casting forth nets of gospel preaching, you drew up the heathen to piety. Those who were the children of idolatrous darkness, you changed into sons of day through holy baptism. O Patrick, intercede for us who honor your memory." So we don't pray to the saints, right? We don't see them to have any particular power. But they do note here Patrick's, just the nature of Patrick's ministry, that he put out into the deep waters and he cast out his nets, right? And he drew up many. And basically the prayer is asking God to accomplish that in us, to help us to be fishers of men, right? In the vein and after the pattern of Patrick. So, certainly captures some of the essence of Patrick's ministry. And I like to call Patrick here an unlikely missionary. Right? We would not think that Patrick would have ended up a missionary to Ireland after his experience and after being made a slave by the Irish. And yet God used those experiences to make Patrick an effective missionary. So just a couple of lessons here as we draw together tonight. First, God prepares and tests us before he uses us. We can't always understand what God is doing. We might think that he is absent, right? Patrick certainly might have felt that way during the 6 years of his captivity on those lonely mountains in Ireland, separated from his family. But God is sovereign over all things. He's never sleeping. And God uses difficulties to accomplish his purposes. Patrick could have made all sorts of excuses because of the challenges of his childhood, right? He did not have a great start in life. But he came to see those experiences as ways that God had prepared him to serve. And that we ought to do the same, right? Maybe you're from a blended family, or maybe you are in a difficult situation in school, or maybe you don't have very many friends, or you struggle with math or English. Maybe God's placed you in a difficult place. But God prepares us before he uses us. And we need to recognize that God is preparing us through the various experiences of our lives. Secondly, you are never too young to serve the Lord. Patrick was having a profound impact, even at a young age. And Patrick understood what was involved in following Jesus, right? He knew his responsibility to take the gospel to the world. And even though his parents resisted and didn't want him to go, even though the church of his day was saying, oh, this is crazy, right? Patrick knew, even as a young man, that he was called to take the gospel to the world. And we have many passages about this. Paul writes, you know, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers, right? A young person can be used of God in a great way. Don't let your age hold you back from following Jesus. Number three, you don't always know the full impact of your actions. Patrick did see thousands of people turn to Jesus during his lifetime, but he could not have envisioned the global missions movement that would go out from Ireland in the years after his death. He could not have envisioned how his evangelism would have made an impact, not just on the church, but on the world. If you want an interesting read about Patrick's life, pick up Thomas Cahill's book, How the Irish Saved Civilization. And you read about the fall of Rome, right? And these Visigoths coming down from the north and burning everything in sight. Artwork, breaking statues, right? Burning manuscripts. And during this time, because of what had happened in Ireland, Ireland became a place of safety, a preserve where much of Western history and Western civilization was guarded during the destruction and the fall of the Roman Empire. Patrick never could have had any sense of all the ripple effects, but we need to understand that what we're doing in a small little corner of the world, right, in your school, in your place of work, in your church, these actions have ripple effects, and we ought to recognize that we can't always see the full impact of our actions. We need to be obedient, but knowing that our actions matter. And finally, you have to love those you would wish to reach. Patrick shows us how to enter into the world of those we are trying to reach with the gospel. He was willing to humble himself to reach those who were below him in education. And he became Irish. In some ways, it's appropriate that we view him as an Irish saint, because in reality, he became Irish. Even in his writings, he would use language. He would throw himself in with the Irish people in the way that he would talk, and he would advocate for them, and he was present with them. He used very common language. He didn't use high Latin, but very common language, the kind of language that the Irish could understand. And this certainly is the model of Jesus, right? That Jesus entered into our world. He spoke in ways we could understand. He entered into our pain. A great reminder to us that if we want to see people come to Christ, we're going to have to enter into their lives. And we're going to have to love them. Certainly the gospel itself is powerful, but Patrick brought an integrity to his gospel proclamation. His love was also what God used to win over the people of Ireland.